water.
Oh, yeah, Jenny, I've seen the green.
Okay.
Sparkling water.
We'll go ahead and call the common council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For Sally's purpose, we started at 6:08 p.m. Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Roll call, please.
Weigle.
Here.
Margaret, absent. Reffitt.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano.
Present.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on September 8th. Any changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign.
Abstain.
Jenny, Dan, Walt approve, and Jennifer abstains. Okay, next up is the public hearing for the alley vacation for the Diocese of Fort Wayne South Bend, Inc. So we will recess the city council meeting and open the floor to a public hearing regarding the alley vacate for St. Paul Lacrosse. Hearing no comments, we will conclude the public hearing and restart the common council meeting. Can I have a motion to read ordinance 2020-11 on first reading? Sorry, by title only.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? In favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read ordinance number 2020-11 by title only.
Ordinance number 2020-11, vacation of public way.
Who wants to take this?
Chip?
Or Rosie?
Someone?
I'll let
Chip. Who wants to take it?
This is for the alley that on the east side that ties into Chauncey Street there. Crosby, we were progressive enough at the time during construction long-term control plan, they reached out and at the same time, so we eliminated the full alley that ties into Chauncey, so we're kind of, it's a perfect storm for them. I used that twice today, so.
As a reminder, this actually has already sort of been approved, but then we had to take them back through the process because time had elapsed. So I think you guys have already approved it, maybe, or at least portions of it. But in any case.
They own both properties on both sides, yep. So we're not.
No individual property owner is being taken out or anything like that. So, questions, comments, concerns about Ordinance 2020-11? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-11 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is Ordinance 2020-27. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Please read Ordinance number 2020-27 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-27, an ordinance to be known as the 2021 Salary Range Benefit Ordinance.
So I want to give kudos to Rosie for putting this together. As you can tell, there's a fair amount of changes this year. As a reminder and also as a notification to the public is that this coming year, 2021, is a 27 pay year for the city of Columbia City. And so in lieu of an actual hourly raise, we will be paying that 27th pay, not spreading 26 pays out among 27, if that makes sense. So that's effectively the raise that employees are getting at the city this year. And also as a side note to that, we actually have also worked, and I kudos to Beth, and maybe Rosie on this, we've actually expanded our it's a small thing, but it's important this year especially. We've actually expanded the amount of counseling sessions, our EAP, Employee Assistance Program sessions, that we provide to our employees from 2 to 4 for this year. Actually, this year and next year. So starting, I think, earlier this month or maybe earlier previous month. So so that's another benefit that we're providing, as well as our HSA contribution, performance bonus, and health or wellness bonus, and all those kind of things. So in front of you is Ordinance 2020-27. There are a couple of different changes there. As you know, we have salary ranges that really are kind of adjusted every year. Some are adjusted every year, some are not. But there's a couple of new positions on there that we have talked about in the past. One of those is the maintenance supervisor assistant position. This is an individual to help our maintenance supervisor, Matt, because as we've talked about in the past, the more land we gain, and certainly the summer staff that we're going to have and other things, especially with the pool and other things, it would be great to have an additional maintenance supervisor sort of assistant there to help help the supervisor to kind of accomplish those tasks. And as you also will remember, at the last meeting, we approved the job description for Park.
Oh, it was 2 meetings ago.
You approved the park maintenance title and description change, and so that's on there. Also on there is a shift lead, kind of additional pay, if you will. So in communications, I'm sorry, my mind's getting ahead of my mouth here. Communications, shift lead, so individuals that are on each of those shifts will have kind of a lead individual on there. Again, these are all things that we talked about during budget meetings. And then some shift differential that's on there as well. Again, we talked about many departments do that. So with that, I will open it up for any questions you have about Ordinance 2020-27.
I guess I don't have any questions.
Sure.
I just want to note that I don't see this as a rate. I see it as being paid for the hours they work no matter what. I don't like the way that's stated as a raise. I know they're going to give, they're going to say more on their W-2, but they're still getting paid for the time that they did work. So I have I've dealt with this 3 or 4 times already. I give them my line of work, and I have numerous debates, but I do believe that it's just a paycheck that's due just because it's a 27 pay doesn't mean it's a raise, because they're getting paid for the hours they work.
Sure.
So I have no problem paying it, because I think that's a great idea,
sure.
Obviously. But I don't like the fact that it's stated as a raise. I don't think that's the fact.
It isn't stated.
They're being paid for the hours they work.
I think you're saying because I stated it that way.
Oh, I was just saying, I don't think I put it in more.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like I said, it's an hourly perspective. They're not getting any more hourly. It's just at the end of the year, they're going to have more in there. Yearly.
When they say raise, that's really not a raise.
Sure.
I will say I'm glad that we're choosing as a city to not spread that out over the time that they're actually getting their pay that they're used to.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Other questions about the salary ordinance?
I did have one thing, and I just noticed this. For the park maintenance supervisor assistant.
Okay.
I think I just came up with those figures, but the supervisor assistant could be making $7 more an hour.
Yeah. I know that you had a suggestion of what that range would be, but I don't remember what it was, so.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I need to up the maintenance supervisor, the low on that. Can you see that?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it should match the program supervisor.
Yeah, it should. Yep.
So the maintenance supervisor should match the program supervisor.
So it should be 14 to 23.
No, I'm saying the maintenance supervisor should be 20 to 26. Whereas the maintenance supervisor assistant should, can probably stay where it's at. Okay.
Is that fair, Mark?
So the assistant should be 20 to 26?
No.
No.
The maintenance supervisor position.
Oh, I see.
That should be 20 to 26, just like the program supervisor.
Yeah, I'll have to check a few things. But then leave the assistant 17 to 25, or put it down to
25. I
don't
have a problem necessarily with that, but here's what I guess I would propose we do is that to keep this moving, that maybe we pass it on first reading, and then you and I can get together either tomorrow or whatever and double check that. And then, we'll, if we need to change it, then we can change it and then take it to three readings if we need or whatever.
Okay. And just note that everything that was changed is in red. And if it was the case that it just need up a little bit, that's going to be new.
No, I appreciate that. That helps us.
Yeah. That did make it easier to follow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any questions? Sure.
The part-time position, that's at $15 an hour. And that was, in our discussion, was if, because I've requested an additional communications person, if that's not going to happen, because we don't know, then I would suggest that the part-time pay go up to $20 an hour, because $15 an hour people don't really want to work. That's why we're having trouble finding somebody. But if that part-time is replaced with a full-time position, then it doesn't matter, because I expect that part-time position.
Yeah.
And I was going to take that out totally, but then I knew with the one leaving that you may not have that position filled.
Yeah, we'll have it filled by.
Yeah.
I mean, so real quick here, let me just take the hander. Yeah, no, I see. I know where it's at. It's just a matter of by putting the part time up to 20, does that. Where does that put them in line with the full-timers? Is that still below the full-timers?
Yeah, that's below the full-timers.
Okay.
Yeah. But at 15 is just, is really below below the probationary pay.
But they don't get benefits, right?
No, they don't get benefits.
Like I say, so that's another
caveat. And the part-timer trying to get somebody that's got experience to fill. Because you got two type of part-timers, somebody that's just work somewhere else and is coming and doing part-time work, or somebody that's hoping for a position to come open someday, and it's tough to find the right fit. And at $15 an hour, some people, they might think that's okay if they're there hoping for a position, but to get somebody to just fill in and win, a part-time position is kind of a killer.
Is there concern from the council if we move that up to 20?
Like, what's the full-time make right now? Do you have any idea hourly?
I don't have my salary.
I just think it, like, to me, like, I guess I interview people all the time, and like $15 for a part-time position is pretty, it's good pay for a part-timer. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like, the swing shifts that they work and if they have make extra money if they're working overnight, things like that, differentials.
Well, I like their suggestion of passing it on first reading, and that gives you guys time to go back and recheck your numbers.
Yeah. So why don't we?
Approximately $25.
That's typical.
That is a straight dispatcher thing.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's still $5 difference. So.
Yeah. So I guess here's what I would propose is that we go ahead and make that change on the dispatch part-time up from 15 to 20, and then and then we'll pass it basically, as is, and then Rosie and I will get together regarding those park issues. Okay.
Can I bring up one other thing?
Sure.
The only other major thing that was changed was, and it was a suggestion from one of the department heads was the meals.
Yeah.
When you're like right now it's $6 for breakfast, and I have that to 10, and for lunch it's 10, and now I've moved it to 15, and for dinner it's 20 and moved it up to 25, and like if you're out at town at a meeting it was 36 and I upped it to 50. I don't know what your feelings are about that.
This would be for all employees?
So, yeah, so anytime we send someone to training, they need to fit within those guidelines, which, I mean, the old guidelines are kind of hard to fit into. The $6 for breakfast is kind of hard to fit into anymore, even at McDonald's. So.
The federal per diem for this area is $55.
For a day?
For a day.
Gotcha.
So I just want to make sure you're aware of that and if you're okay with that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Sometimes you have to consider where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Try to find a $10 breakfast in Indianapolis.
Right.
Or Chicago.
Right.
And I don't think you've had anybody, like, taking advantage.
No.
Because a lot of them won't eat breakfast, or maybe they won't eat dinner and eat supper, so they got $50 to use for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2020-27 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. A couple of things here to chat about, I guess. Obviously, you probably have been hearing about all the frustration that people have had about getting around town. Recognize that it's a pain in the rear. I totally understand. Mike Cook and Chip and I met with our project inspector, and the three of them, four of us, me included, are really frustrated with the contractor. And tomorrow is a project progress meeting that I'm going to be attending, which is not typical. So we're going to be maybe making sure that they recognize the challenges that all of us are facing. First of all of our residents are facing, but also on top of that, what the businesses in that area are facing right now. Because there's four or five businesses specifically that are pretty directly impacted by this project. We've heard from a couple of those business owners already, I know that last week while I was gone, there was a Come to Jesus meeting with the contractor, and I assume that that's will be part two. Will be tomorrow. So, with that being said, we recognize it's a challenge. I've heard from plenty of people about how frustrated they are about Main Street. I get it. I totally understand. And we're trying to get it fixed and completed as quickly as we can. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that, and we'll go more into that when it comes to department reports. The other thing I want to make sure that you are aware of is that Chauncey Street is reopened, if you didn't notice that, and Spencer Street is now reopened. I've had kind of an ongoing request from one of the property owners at the corner of Spencer and Chauncey, who has requested that intersection become a four-way stop. Right now it's a two-way stop. On Chauncey stops, Spencer goes through. I think that, to be fair to them, Spencer is the first street north of Radio Road that connects Main and Line. So it does become a bit of a racetrack there, trying to get across. In talking with Kelly before the meeting here, his suggestion was, if we turn that into a four-way stop, we also may want to just do no parking on Spencer to create a cleaner, safer pathway through there. I'm supportive of both those options. I do think it probably makes sense because of the growing population and the fact that there is no other connection between Radio and Spencer to get from one side to the other. So that would all have to go through ordinance form. And so I guess that would maybe be my suggestion or my preference. I don't know if that goes to the I don't know if that goes to the parking committee, if you will, or what the, or if you all just agree with that, we'll just move forward with it. But I wanted to bring that to your attention because I'm very confident that property owner will keep pushing that forward. And frankly, I don't think it's a bad idea. So
I know a few years ago we had to paint the line a little deeper on the corner of Line and Spencer.
Yeah.
Because the people were parking clear up there, nobody could turn the left.
Mm-hmm.
Big cluster.
Yeah.
At that intersection, so. I don't see a problem.
Mm-hmm.
At least one side no parking, but if both sides.
Yeah. I think one side already is no parking.
It is. I mean, you just need to make the south side no parking really to clean it up. I mean, since that yellow line's painted back at that request, you know,
right.
Back so far, that only leaves, I mean, to Chauncey Street.
Do all those residents have parking behind the houses? Or?
I think so.
Yeah, we were just looking through GIS. It looked like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So in any case, I guess I'm asking for direction from the council on whether or not that's something you want to think about, if it's something you want to send to a committee, or whether or not you just want me to have Marcia draft up an ordinance that includes those two things. So I welcome your feedback on
that. I have no problem going and drafting an ordinance at this point because I know what that intersection's like in that road in that area. Everybody has to stop and wait, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's just not wide enough.
It really isn't. That was the other thing we talked about, was about how wide it is, and it's really you really can't widen because of where
we,
it comes out on the other side.
We looked at it when we redid the curbs on there a while back ago. But if you widened it up, I mean, when you get past Chauncey, you have to narrow back up because of where Bowsman's is. And it just wouldn't make any sense to have it wider there and then come back to a bottleneck.
And squeeze it back up.
That was kind of the reason why.
Yeah, right.
Would it be acceptable to move forward, but yet also send the residents a letter of our intent?
Sure.
I think it's very critical to communicate. If we're not going to have a committee, but maybe a letter on the south side.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'd want to do it before we change the law, to change the ordinance anyway.
Right.
So, but yeah, I don't have any problem with that. So if you're all supportive of that, I'll go ahead and have Marcia start drafting up the ordinance change. And then, and at the same time, if you just want me to send a letter out to those neighbors or those residents and say, hey, the city council is considering this change. Please let us know your comments by X date or whatever.
Would that include the four-way stop?
I mean, my preference would be both. Yeah, the four-way stop and the, I mean, the four-way stop, I can't imagine a whole lot of people being real upset about that except for people that are trying to get from Main Street to Line Street. But for the rest, because I think, I mean, one of the residents there is the one that's been requesting it for quite some time. But yeah. I think the parking may bring up more people. I'm not sure, though, because I think when I looked, everybody has off-street parking available to them. So
it does get kind of busy through there during church, too.
Yeah. I didn't even take into consideration St. Paul.
Another thing to consider, too, is if you do put a stop sign in there, what is that, Scott, 30 feet back from the, or so far from the stop sign would have to be no parking anyway.
Yeah,
so that would,
may take care of its own problem that way.
Right.
Still.
I mean,
yeah.
So you got yellow painted from Line Street so far and then back from the stop sign at Chauncey.
Yeah.
That doesn't leave much parking there anyway.
And we're closing, I believe if I understood right, we're closing the exit from the church where they tore the houses down.
Onto Chauncey. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That now becomes curb.
Yep.
So that's going to push everything north or south in the alley.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that's going to dump more.
But dump more onto that street. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point, Walt.
So.
Okay. Well, I will do that. No, Spencer. Yeah, Spencer and Chauncey. Okay. think at the moment that's all I have. Kelly?
Just to give an update on Brooks Construction with our Community Crossings project. I know we hate to add to the traffic problem, but they have a deadline to complete, so they're currently working on all the streets are milled, the 15 streets that we had on the Community Crossings list, and they're working on the sidewalk at Eagle Glen Trail. They've got probably a couple more days of work on Eagle Glen Trail, and they'll be paving. They got two crews in town as of tomorrow that will be paving. They've got Deploy Dunn and Andrew Avenue and Ryan Road, and then they'll be working on Lincoln Way, Oak Street, Walnut, Trailer Court, Eagle Glen Trail, 100 South, and Rolling Hills and Cul-de-Sac. So I mentioned in Board of Works that they've been real happy with their work as far as what they did, and they got a lot to do and trying to deal with traffic and everything. It's hard when you're trying to get all that done, so I know it's frustrating for residents too. So hopefully, I mean, I think their completion date is like October 9th, but I think they're trying to hit like October 5th or something like that for the completion date. But once they get the milling done and cleaned up, that'll help too. So, yeah. But they're moving along pretty good. And then we're doing a little work at the cemetery on the entrance and exit out of the cemetery and the horseshoe around the flagpole. Brooks Construction is going to be doing a little bit of overlay down there on that. And then just to comment on the City Hall project, the sidewalk out front. I thought our guys did a good job, and we had two guys from Electric Department that Sean let us have to get the concrete down and poured, and then we worked with Flowtech, Ryder Electric, and everyone involved did a good job working together. R.L. McCoy supplied the conveyor that conveyed the concrete up to the front doors and some of the areas we couldn't reach with concrete trucks. So, yeah.
Good. Question.
I think they're doing a good job in Eagle Glen. I will say, though, it'd be nice if the dump trucks and the concrete trucks could actually park, like, I don't know, even 20 feet away from the stop signs, because it's impossible to get around them. Like, today, I actually, there was no one moving, I bumped into one of the orange little median things and messed up my truck, because no one's moving and the lights just keep flashing nonstop. It's just been a hot mess in Eagle Glen, plus State 205 is, yeah, like, to get in and out, it's nonstop.
Yeah. They're putting a culvert in there. And
yeah. Like, and I get that. I totally get it. It's just, like, with the trucks, like, right there on our stop signs, like, if you even go Ravenwood, there's always, like, some kind of trucks there, and all their workers are lined up on the other side of the roads. Like, it's just impossible to even see around some of the vehicles, which is that I've heard from other people, plus myself just living there.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an issue.
Gotcha.
I can relay that to the foreman.
Yeah, just like, I don't know, 10, 15 feet so people can get around and actually see over the stop signs.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm kind of impressed how fast they're assembling streets in my neighborhood.
Yeah, I think you guys are done. Aren't they done? Outside of...
I have like half the street right now.
Oh, okay.
Where at?
Ryan Road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But like, I think all of Andrew was assembled today.
Yeah. They're, like I said, they got a 10-foot paver over in that area, and they're bringing an 8-foot paver in, so they'll have two crews in. And the millings, it's rough because they got to have dump trucks lined up because that mill just chews it up and fills them trucks
which
up in
I
a hurry.
I think
so.
At least the front part of Eagle Glen, they're done with that. They did all that today and yesterday.
They should be clean, and that big mill should be out of town to another. Okay. They got a 4-foot mill now on a Bobcat that's cleaning up some small handwork stuff. But as soon as they get all that cleaned up, like I said, the concrete trucks should be all down now towards the clubhouse, and they should just be doing some concrete work down there.
It's interesting because they're doing a lot of like the straights for a while, but then like the concrete work right by like the intersections at the roads, they've kind of waited to do that last.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're working again on Ravenwood this evening when I came in here, which is great that they're working late. I'm happy for that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, and if you guys hear anything too, the mayor and I both talked to the post office. There's three residents down by Hancock Farm Road that had mailboxes on the sidewalk side that we're putting in. We tried all we could do to get them moved over to the resident side, and the residents wanted that too. I guess they'd been trying to do that for years, but the post office didn't want to budge and make that happen. So they, it's all about the direction.
The most ridiculous thing in the world, by the way, but
yeah,
that's okay.
It's all must be about the direction the carriers go or something.
Yeah.
So the contract,
they,
the way
it is. They
don't
want to go and double back and turn around and then have to go back.
Yeah.
What it comes down to.
So what we did was a 6-foot sidewalk where you come to the first, there's three mailboxes that'll be in the sidewalk now. So we blistered out and basically made that an 8-foot wide sidewalk till we got past the sidewalk or the mailboxes and then came back into 6-foot just to give, because the sleeve has to be back about 2 foot from the curb face, and then you put a post in, and then the mailbox, we don't want it past the, because we plow and they need to be back behind the curb face so we don't hit them. So anyway.
So if you hear people saying,
yeah,
the city is such moronic that they couldn't get this figured out.
I'll say call the post office.
Just yeah. Have them call the post office.
I mean,
we tried. Kelly talked to them. I talked to them.
Yeah. So it looks, I mean, I don't know how it's going to look. I mean, I seen one end today, and I don't know what to think of it. But, I mean, you still got plenty behind the mailbox to, you know, have a 6-foot walk or 5-foot anyway. So it is what it is. We couldn't do anything about it. So anyway, their foreman has been really good to work with, Stuart Eddy. He's a guy I met through this project, and he's been great, and he's brought some things up, looking out for the best interests of the city. So, and their concrete guys do a good job. So I'm happy with what they're doing. But yeah, it is. It's been a mess. So hopefully it starts getting better here from this point. When they start getting the asphalt down, everything will be good. But then we'll have Harlow, that's working for them, come in, and they'll do the restoration behind the sidewalk. And we decided to go with a straw mat instead of blown on straw. So the contract actually called for just mulch seeding with blown on straw, but we're kind of concerned that with heavy rains or wind or everything that could get washed away right there. So that little bit of a slope, we don't want it trying to get out on the golf course. So we're going to use a straw blanket and have that put down. It's going to be a little extra money to the city, but I think it's going to be worth it.
Question to Kelly. Thank you. Terry.
Well, I plan to finish up my portion of the fire department rewire tomorrow, and so that will be completely done. And then meeting with SDS on the council room project to get a start date on that and see how long that project will take. So, that's it.
Question to Terry. Thank you. Tom.
Kind of concerned about the longevity of my fire station after Terry gets done with the rewiring of my firehouse.
You have more of a problem with weeds along your building.
Yes. Yes. Spent the last 2 days at the lake. That was entertaining.
Poor guy.
I know, right? We had pump testing the last 2 days that I reported the last council meeting, Council Board of Works. Our apparatus did fairly well. We did fail two of our engines on the vac test, which is what you use to draw water from like a pond or something if you have to use a lake or pond. Fortunately, we have hydrants, so we don't have to worry about that too much. So. When those fail, it's typically something very easy. In this particular case, it is something easily fixed. It's as easy as a nylon bushing inside of a valve that could have a scar in it that's allowing air to draft in. So they're easy fixes. Those will be scheduled in October to get fixed. So we did very well on our pump test. I was pretty happy. I also asked permission earlier from the Board of Works to hire for a vacancy that's going to come about October 3rd. We have one of our firefighters turn in a resignation letter. He's accepted a position at a different city. So we'll be starting the hiring process for the Board of Works. Other than that.
Questions, Tom? Thank you. Mike?
Still waiting on the controller for Jefferson Street lift station. Once that comes in, then we'll wrap that up. The construction company's going to be paying for that damage that happened to that during the move. We're still waiting on a report back from SME. You remember my report that I sent out, the substance over Ellsworth. Still waiting back on that, so that part of the project's still on hold. They moved out on Main Street, which is, they're in the 14th day of that closure. They are supposed to be setting a structure there. They run into water coming from the north, and they can't get the water stopped, or they can't pump it out fast enough to actually set that structure. So I don't know what that looks like as far as the longevity, when that's going to be open, how long that's going to take. I think they should have done a little more homework before they got out there. But actually, they had it closed down, and then they didn't do anything. It shouldn't have been closed down. But anyway, that's for tomorrow. I'm very frustrated with this project, the company, everything. As the mayor said, South Chauncey is open. Spencer is open. I'm glad to see the stop sign on Spencer right down there, and I've witnessed how fast traffic goes through there, so that will be a huge improvement. Programming was completed today at the 350 lift station. I've been talking about that for the longest time. I finally got the panel all wired up. The pumps are wired up. It is operating. I have one little bug to figure out with dispatch as far as transmitting information from the station, talking back and forth. There's an issue there, but they'll work through that tomorrow. My guys will have some training out there. It's similar to what we already have, so 15, 20 minutes, and they'll be done with that. They will also be working with the RE Crosby construction at the Ellsworth site. They're going to shut the station down, drain the force main back, and they're going to be putting in a bypass there because the force main is in the way of the current project. When they do the excavating out, it's in the way, so they have to set up a bypass on that. At Jefferson, they're putting a water line in, day two on that, and still not done. South Main is supposed to be open this evening. When I came through there just before 5, it was still closed. I don't know if it's open yet. It was supposed to be open today. I hope it is.
Clarify from where to where. When you say South Main.
Okay, from when you're coming down by where the bus garage is. It was closed there. They put a pipe across. That's across. They had binder in there. That should be opened up to allow traffic basically from Chicago up to Spencer. Transverse that way around the city. That should be open back up. It's supposed to be. As soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go see if it's open, and I'll just send you a text and let you know. When I came through there, there was still a three large fixed pipe laying on the bridge, so I'm not sure on that one.
Bet you it's open by 10:30 tomorrow morning.
10:45. Because we started at 10:30. Design, we're in design for the big launch at 700. We sent some elevations back. There was some controversy on the drawings that they were looking at, and they didn't have it, so I had my staff go out there, take some measurements, and we sent that to the engineering. So I've seen a preliminary drawing of it, approved that so they could go to the final design of it. It's exactly what we were wanting. So we're moving along with that for our project. Phosphorus, I'm waiting on a change order to, I've already approved it, we just need the actual paperwork to so the contractor can move ahead. They have to set a structure, and the water line is in the way, so they have to move the water line out of the way to set the structure for an injection point of our phosphorus. So I'm still waiting on that. The painters were in, they've got the ceiling and the walls all primed on site the building. Hopefully by the end of the week that'll be all painted, and then when mechanical will come in and start putting equipment inside there. And the doors are 2 to 3 weeks out. So I think that covers everything. Dunnigan is working on, Dunnigan is working on from the part where the accident happened, from that structure on. They are taking care of that. They have been pumping water out of that for the last 2 days. The foreman left, went back to Michigan today to get bigger pumps to try to come down there and get that pumped out so they can move forward. Because they can't do anything with what has water in it. So they're still working on that. That's all I have.
Questions of mine? Thank you. Sean.
There are two major underground projects that are going on right now, Plumpy Shores and going out of Countryside Trade Park are both complete. Plumpy Shores, all restoration has been done to the property, and everything's been stripped over there. Countryside just has some wires to terminate, things like that, that will be complete as well. I did meet with AP today. They've got an update on the 69,000 kV transmission that we have to do. Fall of 2021, so they're going to begin that project. They have to rebuild all their transmission lines, change it over 69,000 volts from 34 fibers to this house, as well as some work to do on our side. So just quarterly meetings with them from now as the project starts. We did some improvements overall with Wallace and Catherine. We blew a fuse there last week from a squirrel, so we put some more animal protection up. We're trying to make it a little more difficult to cause issues for us. We're always going to have some issues with animals, but we've done our best over there. As you know, we got CNR plaguing over there, and we need to minimize that. We also hired our ICE student as a full-time employee. Pretty excited about that. We started our ICE program last year with the hopes of maybe keeping some of the young talent in-house, and it's the way it's played out so far. So he did some position, and he's doing a great job for us.
So. To that point, was it your ICE student that you also hired full-time this year?
Yeah.
So the ICE program has been really, really good for the city.
Yes, and he is currently going to school to hopefully have his class 1 by the end of the year. So he's already been with us a year. So as like I mentioned earlier, you know, he had a 6-month interview. My guys had a year interview before we give him the position. So yeah, he's doing a great job.
Yeah. So just to show the benefits of having the ICE students here with us and working side by side, because again, I mean, and, you know, obviously they're probably much more exposed to the electrical contractors or maybe other things that they don't get as exposed to what we do. And so I think that's a really good thing. So sorry to cut you off, Sean, but I just think it's cool that we're starting to get a trend of ICE students. So that's
great. We were a little disappointed we didn't get an ICE student this year.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID stuff, maybe we weren't sure where to go with that program. So hopefully in the fall we'll communicate with them again and see if they have anybody.
Questions, Sean? Thank you. Chip.
Ocala is ticking down October 2nd. The mural is done. I think it's a nice addition. Been assisting Mike and the mayor with long-term control plans. I actually wrote a report today but did not send it, sorry. So if you want to look at my report, just other than that, I've got nothing.
In school, I think that's an I for incomplete.
I made it through, though.
Question to Chip.
On October the 2nd, that's when it's going to open, or is that?
That's when it'll be complete.
Complete.
Complete furniture, planners, everything will be complete.
We're planning to do a
ribbon cutting, hopefully.
Sure.
It's in my head it's going to happen on October 2nd.
So is there something else happening in the city? Is there another event happening?
First Friday.
So these will coincide.
Yes.
RC car races.
Exactly.
Right.
That's why we did.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the RC car races.
You want to bring your truck?
I forgot about that.
Okay. Yeah.
So it'd be... If these people want to show up and take pictures, do they need to ask or see anybody or just go do it?
Just go do it.
Okay.
It's construction right now. They're building the planer boxes this week. So there is some construction. Next week and a half, there will be construction, the furniture being built. So, I mean, it might be hit or miss, but yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure when the wedding date is, so that's why I'm just making these notes.
We had a wedding anniversary in there last month, so.
Yeah, I think they just want to take pictures in the alley, and that's it.
Yeah.
Other questions, Chip? Thank you. Scott. Sorry. I looked at Sean and I said, it's a Scott.
This department, we have offered Ryan to go. He's at the academy doing well. We have Officer DeBus, who's now on the FTO. He's on second shift right now. So he's working through his FTO program. And then Officer Crabtree has been released from FTO and he's working third shift. The hiring process, we have 17 people that applied and were given time to come for testing this Saturday. So Saturday, physical agility testing and written testing will be Saturday. So we'll see how many people make it through there. So we're excited. And the Sheriff's Department, their process is done for, and it's none of our officers, and none of them applied that I'm aware of. So. Story.
That's good news.
The Sierra Wireless project, we went out to do some stuff on it today and realized that the salesperson, when they got the antennas, got the wrong length cables. So instead of a 17-foot cable, it had a 12-inch cable on it. So we contacted them and they crawfished around a little bit and wanted to know if we were going to pay $1,000 for the cables. And I said, thank you, and they said, well, we'll give them to you. So we got the cables, they'll be on the way, they should be here next week, and we'll start doing install. So, because our installer, he lost a person, so he's a little behind. Well, that's why it's taking a while to start getting stuff installed. Communications department, we received a Megan Hill tender resignation effective first week of October. She got her degree this summer, and it's really her focus in her degree was a social work type environment, and she was able to get a position working in Fort Wayne doing that. So she's going to work for us part-time, and Board of Works gave approval to start a hiring process for another communication officer, which will put a crank on that, but right now they're kind of, they're good until somebody's missing, and then they're in overtime mode. So anytime anybody's on vacation or anytime somebody calls in sick, they have to go into overtime mode to fill the two-per shift. So that'll put a little cramp on it. Tom's Hunter is filling in part-time. He's full-time on light duty, so we have him and with Megan. That should alleviate some of the overtime. Other than that, everything seems to be going well.
Questions, Scott? Thank you, Mark.
This Saturday is our fireworks show. It should go off around 8 o'clock. So we are going to start parking cars, I think, in the first 500. Kind of see what that looks like. Started parking cars at 6. And so we're guessing 8 o'clock will be dark enough for the fireworks to go off. Football, JFL, still going on weekends and during the week practices. We started interviews today. And we also have a Thursday for our new place a maintenance position that we have open. The playground and Patriotic should be here fairly soon, and hopefully we get that up here in October. The Veterans Marathon is still going on. I'll talk about that at Board of Works, so that'll be November 14. Then the ice rink will start going up in a couple weeks at the playground, or at the aquatic center. And so that will be the end of pickleball, effectively, in the middle of October. But there have been a ton of players playing pickleball, and we've enjoyed that this summer. And then the Halloween party, which we usually have in October, will be October 24th. We're doing it a little bit differently, where we will be having it outside.
question to Mark.
I have a question real quick. So you can fit 500 cars into the park. Is it visible in the same way that it usually is in other areas of town? Like, is however you're shooting them off going to be
the same? We're shooting them the same way we've always shot them off, same place. That hasn't changed. But we'll be parking the cars in a different direction facing the fireworks. So when people come in, they're asked to stay at their vehicles and not wander around the park, to stay in the area of their vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah, that goes. But
listen, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. It is incumbent upon each person to take care of their own health and safety, and that's we're going to do the best we can do. And with that being said, I will also let you know that today I got a call from Tim Longenball, who is
captain
of the Parkview police officers out there. And Parkview has decided that they, due to COVID restrictions, they are not going to be allowing individuals to park in their parking lot this year for fireworks, just so you're aware. So if you hear questions about that, that is not going to be an option this year.
What?
They're going to station somebody in the front of the parking, or in the entrance way to ensure that...
Can you just come in?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the case, yes. Question, Mark? Thank you, Mark. A couple things for your information. Tomorrow morning, Rosie and I are going to be doing some closing with USDA, Bond Bank, right?
Yeah.
Okra, all that, yeah. We're going to be doing some of that tomorrow. The committee regarding trees, the tree committee, I guess, tree board committee, whatever, is meeting tomorrow morning as well. I talked about the progress meeting. Let's see what else here. This Friday, I am hosting Mayor's Roundtable at Eagle Glen. We're excited about that. It's the first Mayor's Roundtable we've had in person. We are putting multiple things in place to make sure that people are socially distanced and wearing masks and putting four people at a table versus the normal eight and things like that. So we're trying to do everything as clean as we can. We're serving food rather than having people serve themselves, all that kind of stuff. So we're taking lots of precautions, and we have a lot of mayors that are ready to get out of their offices. So that's good. See if there's anything else that's important for you all. I can't think of anything else that I have at the moment. Rosie. Walter.
No, sir.
Daniel.
No, sir.
Jennifer.
No.
Danny.
No.
Press. No audience. So, we have CIP committee meeting. Yeah, committee meeting coming up here in a second. And Mark, I think I want to see you for a second.